White Rocket Entertainment, podcast number 728.
Hey, this is Stan White, and you're listening to the AU Wishbone.
What do we make of Auburn's 2024 SEC schedule? The AU Wishbone is next.
Chris Davis takes it in the back of the end zone.
Keep him off the field tonight!
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
From the palatial White Rocket Studios in Southern Illinois and Eastern Virginia, it's the AU Wishbone Podcast. John, how are you tonight?
Very well, Van. How are you?
I'm good. It is. I am your host, Van Allen Plexico, and I'm joined as always by my co-host.
I'm John Ringer.
John, I am tonight following the sage advice in Sports Illustrated magazine from early 1988, late 1987. I can't remember if it was before the game. I think it may have been before the game, so I'm going to say late 1987. Syracuse quarterback Don McPherson, not to be confused with Syracuse head coach Dick McPherson, possibly the most appropriately named coach in the history of college football. You'll recall from the 16-16 tie game in the Sugar Bowl that year. But the quarterback, Don McPherson, said in an interview, and I remember this to this day, he said, "What do you think is the greatest thing in the world?" What did Don McPherson say was just his favorite thing in the world?
Sliced bread.
Look on the camera.
Milk and cookies.
Milk and cookies. And I am following his advice. I have two lovely chocolate chip and peanut butter cookies that I baked myself this afternoon. And since our listeners are well-versed in listening to us eat on the air... Oh, man, I make a mean cookie. I make a mean chocolate chip and peanut butter chip cookie.
Is that cookie speaking to you in any way?
It's telling me that the 2024 SEC schedule, minus the dates, which would be helpful, but at least we know the team is out. Now, the downside of that is it came out, like, right after our last show. So we've gone, like, 6 days between shows with this being out. So I thought maybe we should have done an emergency episode back last week to talk about it, but then I thought, no, it's going to give us plenty to talk about on Monday, and our listeners are used to, you know, us bringing all the stuff that's happened in the week into our Monday show, so Monday night, Tuesday morning, so here we are. So we will talk tonight about the 2024 SEC schedule, both for Auburn and for everybody else to a certain degree. I have a couple of questions for you and for myself, but also a couple of quick things to take care of up front. I want to thank... Excuse me, this is what happens when you eat cookies on the air. I want to thank Zach Blackerby of Locked On Auburn for having me on his Friday show on YouTube. I guess on the podcast, too. I just always see him on YouTube. Zach is really cool. He's a really, really nice guy. He's so kind. And I was on there. It was funny. We actually recorded it on Wednesday because he wasn't sure how his show was going to stack up with a lot of breaking news. And he just wanted to have an episode in his back pocket. And I totally get that. I totally sympathize. So basically, he and I had a fun conversation about the three things. And I talked to you about it to inform my picks. And you had some very good advice. But we talked about the three things that we each were looking for Auburn to do this fall to show that we were making progress and things were going right in the Hugh Freeze era. And that was like a, you know, more or less evergreen topic. So he stuck that one in the files, and then on Friday he aired it a couple of days later, and it worked out really well. So that was cool, and I appreciate Zach. We need to get Zach on here sometime. I think he would be fun to talk to for a little bit. We failed to note last week, and I'm very, very embarrassed by this and sorry because I'm, you know, it's been a big part of our show. I failed to note the passing of the Iron Sheik. Pro wrestler extraordinaire, famous Atlanta citizen, the last few years ran a barbecue and Chinese food restaurant. I just can't beat that. I never went there, but I like to imagine that he had like a golden throne sitting there in the middle of the restaurant, and you went in and ordered and ate your food and occasionally could go up to the Iron Sheik and say, "Iron Sheik, give me some life advice." And he would give you like a sentence that would be in all capital letters if it were typed out. And then he'd call you a jabroni and insult you. And you'd take it and you'd be proud and you'd thank him because he's Iron Sheik. That's what he does, or what he did. So, yeah, great wrestler. Always so fun. He and Nikolai Volkov, the two of them, and, the villains.
But why are you bringing this up on the Wishbone show?
because he and Volkoff informed one of the bits that I know I dearly love, which is that whenever Alabama being highly ranked comes up, we have to immediately go. Russia, number one. Iran, number one. Bama, number one. There you go. Try that again. The Iron Sheik intimidated the record scratch into being quiet. But yeah, that's one of my favorite bits, and it totally comes from Nikolai Volkoff and the Iron Sheik going up there and doing their Russia number one, Iran number one. I just love that. It was always so funny because it's so stupid. Like, they both are number one, you know, and like the Iron Sheik, I mean, I always liked the idea that he was Persian, so he was from Iran, but they don't have sheiks in Iran, or sheiks, as it's properly called. So he just was playing on Americans not knowing any better, right? It's just... He wasn't Arab. He was Persian. He didn't speak Arabic. He spoke Farsi. But yet, Americans don't know any better, so he's the Iron Sheik. He could have been the Iron Pasha, I guess, or something, right? Iron Ayatollah. He should have totally been the Iron Ayatollah. No. That would have been awesome if he was the Iron Ayatollah. No. Oh, man. Well, anyway, God rest you, Iron Sheik. We love you. The last few years, he's also been really fun on Twitter because just every now and then he just tweets out some big insulting tirade at people, and it's so funny. So if you haven't ever seen it, just go look at his old account on Twitter and read some of his all capital letter rants, which are just, they're glorious. So anyway, all right, so that's that. John, we gotta open up as we always do now with... It's the Auburn Fun Meter. How, on a scale of 0 to 10, how much fun are we currently having as Auburn fans? And let's bear in mind, there is some recruiting stuff going on, so I'm interested in hearing your take while I eat a cookie.
I think last week, I was kind of down, right? I wasn't having a lot of fun. This week, I'm going to say I'm like 6.5. I'm up. I love nothing more than talking about future college football scheduling. So that always gets me excited, right? Oh, seeing future games and especially new opponents. And then that and the positive recruiting news together. So.
Oh, yeah. I have a little milk here. Hold on.
Now, where are you at on a scale from 0 to 10?
God, these are some good cookies. I'm at a 10 on my cookies right now. yeah, I think that just knowing... Zach Blackerby said that he and I did a reverse jinx because before our show that we recorded on Wednesday, he said he was revising his expectations for the 2024 recruiting class down based on how things were going. And no sooner did he say that on audio and get on it recorded than we brought in like three guys. So he's like, yeah, we reverse jinxed it and that's good. But there's no like big events or anything going on right now. But with all the stuff that's happening in recruiting and potentially could be, right? That's another big thing. There's stuff going on in recruiting that could be happening soon that's big. We'll see. I'm going to say, what did you say, like a 6-something?
Six and a half.
That's right. Okay, I'll say 7. That's fine. Okay. Right. It's a potential 7. It's a 6 that wants to be a 7, so we'll say 6.75.
I think it was a 6 before you started that cookie.
I think probably it was. It's a 7 right this minute. It'll be back to a 6 in about 15 minutes when I finish these off. Okay, so, yeah. So John's at like a 6, 6.5. I'm at a 6.5, 7. That has been... Auburn Fun Meter for this week. Now, the SEC 2024 schedules were revealed last week, and what they did was added in Oklahoma, Texas, made sure everybody plays them once, right? Something like that. And didn't give us the dates for any of them, but at least you know the 8 teams that are going to be on your schedule. And it's very much a one-off. I mean, we can logically extrapolate, you know, Knowing the 2024 schedule could give us 4 straight years of schedules if they do it. You know what I mean? Knowing the first one, they're going to do the opposite the next year, and then the next 2 years will be the flip side of that, you know. In other words, 2025 would be everybody that's home is away, everybody's away is home. So we know that. And then 2026, 2027 would be the teams we don't play in 24, 25. And the opposite of that. So we can project all 4 of the next 4 years, except that this could be a one-off.
Yes, they haven't agreed to a scheduling format beyond this year, the 8-game conference schedule. So it could be 9 games in 25, and the what we did in 24 is kind of goes out the window, and they restart the pattern over at that point or build on it. But they're definitely at the potential of tweaking it at that point.
I suspect if 2025 remains at 8 games, they'll just flip 2024. So in other words, they'll just flip it. So Auburn and Georgia at home, Oklahoma on the road, no LSU, no Ole Miss, no Mississippi State, you know, that. And that's what I suspect they'll do. That way you don't get any of these things where you play at their house, but they never play at your house for a while. You know what I mean? So that would even it out if they do that. But we don't know. So let's talk about what we do know. So what does this mean for Auburn?
I think it's a good schedule for Auburn. I think it's not, you know, compared to some of the murderer's rows we played in the last 15 years, I think it's a easier than normal SEC schedule for Auburn. I would go as far as to say that. I think it's, it's good, but also like 2024 is a long way away. We don't know how good teams are going to be or not be in 2024. But
especially
looking at the schedule, I feel pretty good about it. No LSU, Ole Miss, or Mississippi State.
That's right.
And we got Oklahoma at home. Everybody got one of the two teams, and we got Oklahoma at home. But overall, I mean, I feel like, you know, we kind of traded the bottom teams in the West for the bottom teams in the East, and we're not playing LSU. Instead, we're playing Oklahoma, who I don't think is as good as LSU right now. So
That's right.
I kind of feel like we're in a, you know, we came out ahead on all that stuff. I think I love the idea of what they did where every team in the SEC gets to play Texas or Oklahoma. I think that was really smart.
Yeah.
And it's not a real conference because everybody doesn't play everybody thing. Every single team will get exposure to them, which leads to some really fun stuff. I mean, one day in the next 10 years, man, Vanderbilt is going to beat Texas and the internet is just going to burn down. That is going to be like the greatest thing that ever happened in the history of.
Oh, my goodness.
I hope Twitter is still around at that point because that will be a glorious occasion. But I really like everybody playing Texas and Oklahoma. I think that's really fun. Everybody gets a shot at one of them and they get a shot at a bunch of, you know, different teams. They kept rivalries, but they didn't go crazy with it. And I think they really balanced the difficulty. As we said, Auburn's schedule, I feel like, got a little bit easier. And I think the East team schedules got a lot harder. In particular, I think Florida and Georgia's schedule is harder than it has been.
Well, teams in the East have always had that benefit of always getting South Carolina, Kentucky, and Vanderbilt.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one of several major advantages of losing the divisions, and there's several. I could not be happier about getting rid of the divisions, right? It's not that I just hate the idea of divisions. Agreed. It's that I hate what the divisions did to who we play and when.
Yes, agreed.
The divisions meant that Georgia has never played at Missouri in 10 years. The divisions meant that Auburn has played at Missouri one time ever since 2012. The divisions meant that Georgia gets to play South Carolina, Kentucky, Vanderbilt every year instead of LSU and, you know, Texas A&M and Alabama and, you know, whoever, right?
That's right.
So I'm very happy about that. I think that's one of the best things. Also, and that's because the way they had it set up before, it already was like a 6 or 7 year rotation, and then they kept messing with it and tweaking it, which kept making some games get pushed off further and further. If they hadn't tweaked it at all, Georgia would have played at Texas A&M one time, just like we played at Missouri one time, you know.
That's right. It's
just one of those things where they'd already spread it out over years and years and years between the times that you play each other, and then they go in and mess with it occasionally, and it messed things up, you know. So it just kept getting worse and worse. Now you're never going to have to wait more than 3 years to play a team, right? Because if you don't play them this year and you don't play them next year, you'll play them in 3 years and 4. And I was going to mention that while I'm thinking about it, if like I said, you could, let's just hypothetically say that they do go 4 years with this arrangement, right? Because they're wanting to see how it affects the playoffs, and you need data. I don't know how much data you're going to get in 1 year. So let's say they just go ahead and go 4 years and let the whole thing run one cycle. Because that's what it's going to take, right? It's going to take 4 years for this thing to run one cycle, right? In year one, you have the game where we play Oklahoma at home and we go to, you know, Alabama or whatever, go to Georgia. In year two, if you continued that, we would go to Oklahoma and we'd have Alabama and Georgia at home, okay? In year three, we would swap Oklahoma for Texas. We would lose Georgia because we played them the two times and we're only getting one permanent opponent, but we would be playing at Alabama again. So we have at Alabama, we have Texas either home or away, and then we would get all those teams that are our traditional rivals that we haven't played in forever. This is what our 2026-2027 schedule would be if they keep this arrangement for all 4 years. We will have Texas, LSU, Florida, Tennessee, Alabama, Ole Miss,
Kentucky,
Mississippi State. That is the 1983 schedule. Just swap out LSU for Florida State, right? And you don't have a Maryland, but you know, but you don't know who our, you know, whoever our big part, you know, whoever our Power Five opponent would be. That would be Maryland. So, it's just incredible to me that this is going to end up potentially giving us that 80s schedule that was really hard, but that we always kind of, you know, look back on and go, oh man, I wish that we could play. Because the team that we would swap in for Georgia is South Carolina. That's who we don't play the next 2 years that would swap in, I think. So yeah, we would. So in 2026, 2027, we would have some combination of Texas, LSU, South Carolina, Florida, Tennessee, Ole Miss, Mississippi State. No Arkansas, no Texas A&M. No Georgia.
In 2025, we play at Baylor, and in 26, Baylor comes to Auburn. So there you go. Florida State.
So yeah, Baylor in place of Maryland from 83.
Yeah.
Baylor in place of Maryland, LSU in place of Florida State. It's pretty similar to the 83 schedule. Very similar to the 83 schedule. All right, so my thoughts on the other stuff that you mentioned. When I first saw it, I was very excited. I was disappointed in that we still get these West teams I don't care about playing, like Arkansas and Texas A&M. I'm like, really? Because I want Florida, I want Tennessee, and I get Arkansas and Texas A&M. And it was kind of weird not to have Mississippi State on the schedule. Ole Miss, again, we used to play them at all. Weird to not have LSU, but I like it because we didn't used to play LSU all that often. So I'm kind of good with playing LSU every now and then.
I think the LSU thing was more of a balance thing.
Yeah.
I think if you do the power ranking thing, they come out third in the conference, and we're already playing the top two teams. You can't give us the third team, the top three teams.
And we got Oklahoma. So, I mean, yeah, something has to give. So, yeah, so they took LSU away and gave us Vanderbilt, Kentucky, whoever it is. I forgot. Yep. Both of them, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
Vanderbilt, Kentucky, and Missouri, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm really looking forward to being at Missouri. That's my favorite thing because that's 2 hours from my house. So that's very exciting. That's the only road Auburn road game or home game I can go to without spending the night. I can go to Auburn Missouri game and come home, which is awesome. How do I feel about it? Yeah, I do. You mentioned Texas. My biggest disappointment, it is awesome to play Oklahoma. I'm very excited about that. But I was really wanting, for reasons I gave last week, I was really wanting Texas. I was really wanting a road game at Texas because I was wanting to go to Austin. That's not happening. Which, again, if the 2024 schedule extrapolates out for 4 years, we won't play at Texas until 2027, right? Because we'll have Oklahoma at home, Oklahoma away, Texas at home, Texas away. So it's the farthest away it could possibly be out of those four. But anyway, we'll get there. I think it is a little easier for us than normal because we got rid of LSU, traded them for Oklahoma. We got rid of Ole Miss and Mississippi State. Instead got, Vanderbilt and Kentucky and Missouri. So that's better, I think. We kept Alabama and Georgia. But we kept Arkansas and Texas A&M. So in some ways it's the same. Probably the main difference is, like you said, Oklahoma might be a little easier next year than LSU will be next year, all things being relative. And I feel like Kentucky, Arkansas, Vanderbilt, Missouri, right? Kentucky, Arkansas, Vanderbilt, Missouri. I feel like those four are easier than Ole Miss, Mississippi State, you know, Florida, Tennessee, whoever else we could have gotten.
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
I think that's the balancing aspect. I think they had to give us weaker teams there.
Yeah. And the other thing I said on Twitter that got picked up, this guy actually got picked up by USA Today, I saw yesterday, was I said, it says everything you need to know about the Auburn schedule over the years, that this new system gives Oklahoma and Texas the hardest schedules they've probably ever faced, and it's easier for Auburn. You know, think about that. What's much harder for them, we think of as a big break.
And, I mean, we talked about it a minute ago. There was an immense amount of whining from the SEC East teams. Georgia and Florida fans that night were like, oh, it's so unfair.
Yeah.
This isn't right. We got it so much harder. I mean, I just want to, for a minute, look at Florida's schedule. Okay.
Yes.
Kentucky, LSU, Ole Miss, A&M, Georgia, Mississippi State, Tennessee, Texas.
Whose is that? Georgia?
No. That's Florida's.
Florida. So screwed.
And
4-8 Florida. The cookie's they're talking to me, John. It says 4. I don't know if it's not barbecue. All right. But the cookie says 4-8 Florida. So I didn't even look at the numbers. That's just what comes to my mind. Maybe 5-7. I love it. What do they call him? Big Sunbelt Bob Billy or something? Sunbelt Billy? I love it.
Georgia has these are Georgia's road games. At Alabama, at Kentucky, at Ole Miss, at Texas.
And here's the thing. That sounds like a typical year for us, and that's really hard for them.
That's right.
I love it.
And it's they get amazing. Auburn, Florida, Mississippi State, Tennessee at home.
We just take it so for granted that our schedule's hard and theirs isn't. And now when the shoe's on the other foot, they're just like, whoa, you mean in the SEC you have to play actual teams sometime? Aww. Yep. Yep, you do sometimes.
Here's the one other thing I want to say about the 24 schedule setup. Because there are not divisions and because everybody doesn't play the same teams, mm-hmm. it is possible for multiple teams to go undefeated in this arrangement. There can be, 20 different combinations of three teams could go undefeated.
Oh, wow.
And 8 combinations of 4 teams could go undefeated.
Good Lord.
So you know that's going to happen at some point down the road.
It's absolutely. What are the odds that one of them will be us and we'll get left out of something? That's just how it works. But
Van, 100%.
Yes. It's the law. It's the fundamental nature of the universe. About the keeping the rivalries, we do keep Alabama. We don't keep Georgia, but they did give us Georgia in 24, which, again, if you extrapolate out, that means we would play Georgia at home in 25. So it would be 2026, conceivably, if nothing changes, that we would not play Georgia for the first time since like 1895 or something.
If we haven't gone to the 9-game thing, then.
If we go to the 9-game schedule, we will play Georgia in 2026 and 27 and on forward. But if we stick with this current system, then in 2026, theoretically, we would no longer play Georgia. But here's the thing that people get confused about. They think that means we wouldn't play Georgia for 6 or 7 years. No, just 2. Just 2. That's the great thing about this system, whether it's 8 or 9, is that if you don't play a team, wait 2 more years and you get them again. Right? You're going to get them again. I'm all excited that Missouri's going to have Auburn coming up here. Well, you know what? If you hold to this thing, in 4 years later, they'll be up here again. Not 7, not 12, 4. That's awesome.
It is really good.
Auburn will be at Vanderbilt in 4 years again, and I'll be there again. This is like, if they want my money, give me more chances to go to the games. Don't keep playing the same teams every year that I can't get to. And by playing Vanderbilt and Missouri on the road once every 4 years, I'm going to get to go see my team play a lot more often than I have in the past. That's just a fact.
It's a good thing.
And who would have thought adding teams would make that happen? I never in a million years would have dreamed that you'd think they'd have to take teams away to make you be able to play teams more often. But by actually making the conference bigger, they've also made the schedules better. It boggles my mind. They could have done this the whole time. They just didn't. But yes. They used this as the opportunity.
That's right.
Yeah. So, let me sure we've got everything here. Yeah, the multiple teams going undefeated will be fun. But, of course, at least if you do that, at least two of them, one will knock the other one off in the championship game because we're still doing that. You'd need there to be three for it to be weird. Like, what if you get three undefeated SEC teams and two of them play each other in the SEC championship and one wins over the other? If the third one is Alabama, you know they're going to say they're co-champions.
Yeah, but then they're all going to the 12-team playoff. So it'll,
yeah, and remember what we said about that. When the 12-team playoff begins, that's the only thing that's going to matter.
That's right.
It's the only thing anybody's going to care about. It's going to be the NCAA tournament of football. It's the only thing people care about. Nobody says, hey, who finished third in the SEC regular basketball season? No, they say, did the third-place team get in the NCAA tournament? Am I wrong or am I right?
You're right. Yeah. No, that's it. Nobody cares about it.
Nobody cares. All right. So do we talk about who has the toughest and who has the best? I mean, we talked around it a little bit. Do you have a definitive answer there? Or?
I think that, you know, Texas A&M is a good example of a team that dodged both Georgia and Alabama.
How in the heck?
So that's one of the people have said, as soon as that came out, people saw that, be like, okay, Jimbo. This is it.
No excuses, Jimbo.
This is ding, ding, ding. This is your shot. Take it.
Yep. Of course. And the thing is, if they go through that entire schedule and then play in the SEC championship game against, say, Georgia, they dodged Alabama the whole way.
That's truth.
They never had to play them. They only had to get one more. They can't play them both. The SEC championship game is not a 4-team playoff. So if there's three undefeated teams, one of them, the two in the championship game are conceivably going to, at least one of them could conceivably dodge the third team. So, interesting. Now, I had a question for you. Iron Bowl aside, which game this fall and which game on the new schedule are you most looking forward to? And it doesn't have to be an SEC game if you don't want to, but I'm just curious where your thinking is right now.
I am very excited about playing Oklahoma first time.
Yeah, that's...
I think that's exciting,
that's
right?
Cool. Yes. And let's play them now, not, you know, 5 years ago or 5 years from now. Let's play them now.
That's right. I'm excited about that. And so this fall, maybe Cal Berkeley, just because it's
kind of cool.
Yeah, somebody different. I like to see somebody different. But also, like, I'm kind of excited. Let's get Alabama. Let's go. Bring it.
Yeah, me too. That's why I said Alabama aside.
Okay.
There's different ways of looking at it. There's like, who am I excited Auburn's playing? And there's like, who I'm excited that I get to see. So I'm excited if we go to Arkansas. That'll be fun. And I'm excited for the Missouri game.
Yes.
Wait, Missouri's next year. Vanderbilt's this year, right?
24.
Yeah. So I'm believe it or not, I don't normally say this, but I'm excited about playing Vanderbilt because it's Vanderbilt in Nashville. If it was Vanderbilt and Auburn, I couldn't care less. Couldn't give a flip about it. But Vanderbilt in Nashville means I get to go Nashville and watch Auburn play. So I'm very excited about the Vanderbilt game this year. They don't play that often enough for me. So, but yeah, I think Oklahoma next year is the big one. And just in terms of general football, this fall, you know, honestly, this sounds weird, but in some ways I'm kind of looking forward to LSU because I feel like, well, but it's down there. We always play them better at home. If this game was in Auburn, you know what I mean, though? If this game was in Auburn, I feel like we could ambush them. But down there, man, it's tough.
Mm-mm.
Even the 2013 team got steamrolled by LSU in the Bayou. So yeah, I don't know. I guess maybe Ole Miss will be fun this year.
Well, I think it'll be spicy in a way that it hasn't since the first Tubbleville year. So,
yeah, that's right. The Ole Miss game this year, if we keep hiring Ole Miss coaches, the Ole Miss game this year is going to be like food the old folks don't want the waiter to bring them. I don't want it spicy, and that's going to be.
That's right.
All right.
That's going to be.
Well, that's cool.
So I think that one is my pick, actually.
Yeah, that's good. That'll be fun. I think it will be fun. And I think we've got a good shot in it, too.
That's right.
All right. Recruiting. It was like there was nothing going on. All of a sudden, boom, boom, boom. So talk a little bit about what's happening in the recruiting picture, John.
So we talked last week about how there's been a bunch of camps and official visits and things going on and players coming on campus, visiting with coaches and stuff. And some of those players were making a good impression and getting an official offer they could commit to. One of those was Bryce Kane, a wide receiver from Mobile, who's very fast and showed that last week on campus at a camp where apparently other players are running. And there's one guy standing there, and he lined up to run his 40, and like 10 Auburn coaches were standing there with stopwatches. and then so, I think that's, a solid up-and-coming receiver who's got a lot of speed and a lot of talent, a guy who I think he's a guy who played a bunch of baseball and other stuff, so hasn't focused on football as much yet. Then we got
Is that the guy that everybody's saying is a three-star now but is almost guaranteed to be a four-star pretty soon? Okay.
I think so.
Yeah.
And then the other guy we got is a four-star defensive back named Kinsley Faustin from Naples, Florida, who a bunch of the teams in Florida wanted. And then the big get was a guy named Joseph Phillips, who's a linebacker from Tuskegee. Mm. And he's a guy that, is very talented, and Georgia definitively wanted. Everybody thought he was going to go to Georgia until like 2 days before. And then it started to be maybe what's happening here. And then he committed last Thursday to Auburn, and it was a big shock. And my brother Pat and I had a conversation about this. Like, this could actually be like a turning point kind of recruit. When you look back, years from now at, the Hugh Freeze era at Auburn, that this will be a recruiting turning point where they go, that's a guy, the first guy that Freeze got that Georgia definitively wanted and thought they were going to get, and he got him.
Yeah. Yeah. That's bodes well, as they say.
Mm-hmm. It's a guy that could play inside or outside linebacker, so it could be a pass rusher or an interior guy. And Jason Caldwell compared him physically to Donatarius Thomas. So that's strong.
Yeah, that is pretty strong. That on the 2002, 2003 in particular teams, great linebacker. So, yeah, and I heard some talk about maybe he could be more of a pass rusher or more of a, depending on what they decide to do with him, but he's just got a lot of talent. So,
and then a guy that could do both, so you could kind of line him up wherever, and then you don't know if he's rushing or if he's playing the run.
Nice. And then there's these receivers.
Right. So there's two big-time wide receivers in the state of Alabama, Perry Thompson and Cam Coleman. And they have both recently visited or are visiting, will visit in shortly, Auburn. And in particular, these are guys that are five-star receivers and Alabama commits. And Perry Thompson said it's now 50-50. He is committed to Alabama, but after visiting Auburn and had a great experience, he said it's neck and neck.
When's he going to announce? Do we know?
I don't know the date for that. But, these guys, if we got one of these guys, like especially Cam Coleman, I think is from closer to Auburn. But either one of those guys, if we got one of those, that would be gigantic.
I did see on the 24/7 rankings that before we got Phillips, we were 34th in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And I think like 8th in the SEC or 9th or something, or even 10th, I remember. And then after we got him, we briefly moved up to 28. We've since dropped back down to 32. I take that to mean some other teams have gotten recruits and it's just kind of pushed us down again. And while you don't love being 32nd or whatever, it's one of those deals where we only have 8 players listed, and some schools have a lot more than that right now. But here's the thing. Of our 8 players that are listed, 6 of them are 4-star. And 2 of them are 3-star, and that's better than most of the teams ahead of us for quite a way. It's just the numbers that have us down low. And I tell you what, I'd rather have a bunch of 4-stars than 18 3-stars and 2-stars. Yeah. That, you know what I mean? I'll take quality over quantity. As we were saying, one of those 2 3-stars is going to be a 4-star. We're going to have 7-1 out of what we got right now already.
That's right. We're on average play ranking. I'm looking at on 3, we're 10th.
There you go.
If you just the average player quality. So that goes to your point exactly. More numbers bring that up. We're in a good position. I think that, you're right. We don't have a ton of guys right now. I think we want to have more by the time the season starts. And I think we have 8 right now. I'd like to have, 14, 15 by the time the season starts. So we got some work to do, but also these guys wanted, especially the guys that are signing in December, they want to decide. There's a lot of guys making decisions over the next month or so.
Yeah. And it's fair enough. We haven't seen Hugh Freeze coach a minute of Auburn football. So you could see where, you can look at Alabama and have a fairly good idea of what you're getting if you sign there. You can look at Georgia, have a fairly good idea. But you look at Auburn, you're having to have faith that what you think and what you want to happen is going to happen. And we don't know. I mean, they don't know that yet. So, yeah, that's we right. could, depending on how the season goes, and that's really important, we could surge if everything falls in line right. All right, we've got to pause to thank the folks who keep the program going. We do not do commercials on this show. You're welcome. We never will under a Plexico and Ringer administration. And so instead, we depend on you, our audience, our Auburn AU Wishbone family, to keep the lights on and the power going at the White Rocket Studios. And in exchange for your great support, we give you the best show we can at the same time every Monday night, Tuesday, whenever it is that you listen to it. And we do our occasional videos, shows, and we do various activities like the College Football Bowl Pick'em, the Fantasy Formula One, which I'll get to in just a minute, the March Madness, all these various things that we come up with during the year to do. And I thank all of our supporters every episode on here. And you can put whatever you like in your name on Patreon, and that is what I will read, including audio cues from the soundboard. So,
wrong!
No, it's true. We really do. So here are the fine folks who went to www.auwishbone.com. www.auwishbone.com. There's a lot of cool content there, but you can also click on the big orange button to become a patron. And here are the folks currently doing so. They include Samuel Salvatore, Boris the Tiger's Burner account, Carl Von Drunker, Chris and Clinton Stewart, Logan Chilton, Ann Kangian, Bill Weathers, Bradley Blackman, Daniel Odom, Eric Morgan, Gary Grant, a.k.a. AU Fan at KSC, Matt Flowers, Michael Kirshner, Phil Amthor says... This is Georgia.
They're celebrating right in front
looking
of me.
At their new schedule.
This is the worst. This is the worst.
What do you think, Georgia?
No.
Yes.
Truth.
Yes. Richard Stevens, Steve Trawick, Susan Trawick. Poor Richard has to follow that. Susan Trawick, Trombone Tiger, Willie Carden. Here's our second of the soundboard. I'm using this one now.
I'm afraid that my condition has left me cold to your pleas of mercy.
This is true.
Alex Brown, Ben Bloodworth, he changed it back. Bleeds Orange and Blue. Calibrating my fun meter in the back booth of...
Jones Barbecue Foot Massage!
That's right. Chris Hilton, Dan Thompson, Earl Ricks, Bobby. Free throws are expensive. If the early bird catches the worm, I'll sleep until there are pancakes. Okay. 76 Tiger Esquire Sleazy Shyster. Ark always says, insert your favorite. Let's see, we did Sanford and Son last time. You know what I'm going to make the random sound clip this week, John, because I have no other excuse to play it? You know what I'm going to play?
No.
It's UMass Hate Week 2023.
Gold.
Oh, man.
It's gold.
Thank you. I enjoy that. I could just put that one on heavy rotation and just keep playing. Because it's not actually UMass Hate Week yet, but we're just making it like UMass Hate Summer.
It's always UMass Hate Week, man.
Okay, there you go. Oh. Let's see. Thank you, Mark, for the insert round.
If you aren't hating UMass at home right now, you're not doing your part.
There you go. Jacob and Robin Fleming, Junior Rose Green, one of my favorite safeties in Auburn history. You know what? We got to talk about Al Borges for a second, but Al mentions Junior. Al doesn't talk in his book a lot about the defense. He mentions the defense here and there where they do something really big and important. And he has great admiration for Gene Chizik. He mentions, you know, several times too as a defensive coordinator, which he should. But he mentions a couple of times Junior Rosarine really, like, kills somebody. He's like, Junior was really he was something, you know. He was really, you know, taking scalps, you know, or whatever. So I enjoyed his references in his book to Junior Rosarine and a bunch of other things. Catherine England, Kevin Smith, Lane Middleton, Mickey B. No One Fights Like Gaston, Algo Rhythm and Blues. Paul Miles, Reynolds Wolf, Rich Reimer, Rusty Owen, Steve Harlan, Theodore Gary, Todd Robinson, Warhammer 6, WDE Richie, Why Are Pirates Called Pirates? They Just Are. Weagle Weagle, that's the name of Boris' little bird friend. Wes Atkinson, What Is the Opposite of Lady Fingers? Mentos. Yep, some of our patrons have decided to roll out their favorite dad jokes, as they say, as my daughters always say, and infiltrated the Patreon with them, and it's very entertaining. William Morgan, Wilson Beard, Wynn Carroll, Winston Body, Auburn Blue, Blake Heron, Boris the Tiger,
what?
Brandon Smith, Carter Glaus, Colby Butler, Corey Smyer, David D., David Simpson, Dibama, Josh Teal, Just Wait Till Next Year, Kevin Mahan, Luther and Kelly Ottaway, Melissa Blackstone, Papa Todd, Patrick Williams, and our one-time and anonymous donors, Randall Walker, Rob Morgan, Russell Milling, Sarah Hines, Sasquatch, Shane Bailey, Shannon Butson, Spider-Man Has a Winter Jacket Made of Mediterranean Flatbread. It's called a Peter Parka. Steve in Houston, Tim Pittman, Timothy, Tony Perry, trying to get
potato
fired for cheating on his wife, all so you can hire Hugo Sleaze is peak Jabba. You know, I'll give our patron credit. He certainly finds creative ways to get his point across there, and I admire it. I'd have no problem with it. That's his absolute is right. Weagle87 at the Mad Reaper Pepper Company on Instagram. Oh, I have a news here. So, last Friday, my family and I went to St. Charles, Missouri, which is a suburb of St. Louis that has like a lot of little shops. It's like a little, you know, when Christmas comes, they do a whole bunch of Christmas village type stuff. They have a whole lot of little neat shops and stuff. Well, one of their stores is like a hot pepper sauce, all pepper sauce store, like you'd find in Charleston or New Orleans or somewhere. And I looked around and didn't see our friends from the Mad Reaper Pepper Company. So I went up and told the guy that runs the store, and he wrote it down. He's like, oh, I'm totally going to look them up. That sounds really good. So heads up, Mad Reaper Pepper Company. You may be getting an order from St. Charles, Missouri. I'm doing my part, doing what I can, doing my
best. Nice work.
Yeah. Alex Wynn, Ben Amos, Ben Regis, Brian Albanese, Charles Mooney, Chris Como, Chris Braun, Clay Henson, Colonel Dad, a.k.a. Ari Benzano, Missing My Category Mister, Construction Tiger, Daniel Barnett, Darren Pyle, and finally, Elizabeth Donald.
We gotta get better at celebrating.
How do two cats end a fight? They hiss and make up. I am Tiger.
Jones barbecue foot massage.
There you go. I'll buy this for $1. James Taylor, Jason the Weasel Skull Albrick. Man, all that Jason and Jared and that whole, I don't know if Jason was there, but all the rest of that crowd, including Kathy. Well, I think it was Kathy. I say this and then I start backtracking. A bunch of Jared's crowd that I usually see at Dragon Con, oh, Delvin, were at Heroes Con in Charlotte, North Carolina. So if any of you cool North Carolina listeners of our program were at Heroes Con in Charlotte over the weekend, give us a shout, because quite a bunch of our crew was there from the network, from the Bond shows and all. Jeremiah Schumann, Jim McCrory, Joey Miller, JT Jarhead, Justin Bean, Kenneth Brent Rain says,
you have failed me for the last time.
To the barbecue, a.k.a. Auburn Dad for life. I meant to say the barbecue in February. Mark Squire, MVP, captivating Kathy Bright.
Your love of the halfling's leaf has clearly slowed your mind.
New York Tiger is going to be watching a lot more college football this fall than he had originally anticipated. Interesting. Okay. Nick Craig, Paul Bankson, Rich Hammett, Royce Alvarez, Russell Souther, Ruth and Darren Sutherland, Spanky, I'm at the bottom of this list because...
Scott Wilson!
Come on, you can, the monkey boy.
That's right. Sports Illustrated's Auburn Elvis, Stephen Thompson, the Slinko family, Tim Sauls, Trevor Johnson. What is our basketball coach's favorite band? Pearl Jam, of course. Why are you booing John? He's right. Brent Rumble plus our one-time and anonymous donors. We thank you all. Go to www.auwishbone.com. John, I got to quickly check in on our Fantasy Formula One standings. I'll do the top 10 real quick. Number one is a new number one this week. Teamy McTeamface has moved into the number one position, followed by Tiger Transit, Cheeky Nando's, Scuderia, Toro Plexico. My team is in fourth. Sir Bacon the First, Mississippi Racing, Scuderia Aguila Guerra, War Eagle, is in seventh. Albemobile in eighth. Smokescreen 45 and Smokescreen 44. Are in 9th and 10th. Boris is in 13th. And Ringers is in 18. There you go. Now, let me see. It must be.
After the Canadian Grand Prix, I don't believe we. This is the week you said we would not have a guest of the game.
That's right. Yes, because the one we have was sent in on June 12, and this is June 19th. So it was sent in the day of the last one. So. Yeah. Jared, I'm sure you're listening, and if I'm screwing this up, then let me know. I think I just didn't delete it, so I'm going to go ahead and...
I was just going to guess a game. I'm going to say this is from the 94 Ole Miss game. That's what I'm guessing.
Here, I'm going to do you one. I'll do you one, and you tell me which game it is.
Bleep, drops back. He's looking to pass. It is intercepted. He's running back for the touchdown. Bleep, drops back. He's going to throw the ball again. Intercepted for a touchdown. Oh, my gosh. Bleep. Throws it again. It is intercepted for a touchdown.
All right. You get the idea.
It's the 1994 LSU game at Auburn.
It is.
The interception game where Auburn couldn't get a first down on offense, but LSU kept throwing interceptions and we kept running them back for touchdowns. They had the lead and we couldn't get a first down, but they kept throwing the ball.
Yep.
They're the poster child that game is for. You run the ball in your head. Don't take chances.
We did a whole episode on it during the pandemic. So go back to 20. Yeah, if folks are listening and are interested, if you just go to auwishbone.podbean.com, which is like the page that actually holds all the files. We have auwishbone.com, which is like our interactive page to do stuff. But if you go to auwishbone.podbean.com, that's where all the files are. You can scroll to the bottom and go backwards. And if you just keep going backwards till you get to 2020, that's where we had all these games where we broke down episodes where we just broke down famous games from the past. We did like the West Virginia rain game. We did the LSU interception game. That's also the time that we did the 2004 versus 2010 head-to-head game.
Simulation game.
That was fun. That was so much fun. So, yeah, there's a lot of fun stuff in the summer of 2020 if you go back and dig into that, because we had nothing else to talk about, really, right? We were at home, stuck, right, with the pandemic, so we did. Yeah, I don't think we have a guest of the game this week, but I like that one. The other thing I was going to say is, I don't think we scored a touchdown on offense. Even our other touchdown was a fumble that we recovered in the end zone. I think we kicked that field goal maybe on offense. That was it, and we scored 30-something points. That's crazy. Let's see. I guess we're all
listener questions.
It is. We are.
Thank you. Order questions to the Prime Minister.
It's time for listener questions. Dun, dun, dun. On the AU Wishbone podcast.
Freeze.
Freeze. Ice. Freeze. Ice. Winter. Five. Frozen. Icy. Freeze. Winter. Ice.
Ice.
Freeze. Winter. Winter.
Freeze.
Cold. Frosty.
I love Frosty at the end. Whoever put that together did a good job. All right, so what do we got? What do we got this week?
All right, our first question involves a guest game from last week.
Mm-hmm.
This is from Chris Thomas, who says, Hi, guys, longtime listener, first-time writer. You guys usually trounce me at guest the game, so I felt really good about getting this one. I've always wanted to send in this very play, but I didn't because we didn't win. I was suspecting it was the play before the audio even ran. Mm-hmm. I don't know if the announcers made it clear, but it was a mid-air interception by Dansby while soaring out of bounds, followed by an illegal forward pass to Thomas to keep it from landing out of bounds with the ball. Auburn was awarded the ball and a 5-yard penalty. This was, at the time, the coolest play my young Auburn mind had ever seen. Keep pumping out the best AU podcast out there.
Ah. Yeah, I remember we didn't really talk about all the details of it. And when you say he kind of like passed it in midair to another player, now it kind of comes back to me better. So yeah, I kind of remember it now. I forgot to go back and look at it, but yeah, I kind of remember it now. That's crazy.
All right. Next question is from Steve on Twitter, who says, I have a topic that might be of interest for the next AU Wishbone. Is California the most important game of next season? It sounds crazy, right? Well, here's my thinking. We have tons of positive momentum at the moment. Recruiting has somehow been raised from the dead. A loss to California would suddenly burst that momentum bubble. No losses are good, but losing to Texas A&M or Georgia or LSU are easy to rationalize. Losing to California would be tough. Yeah, losing to UMass would be tougher, but if that happens, we'd be talking hot seat at coaching search.
Yeah.
That ain't happening. California isn't bad enough to get a coach fired, but they are bad enough to kill our momentum.
Yeah, that's fair. I said that game, it worries me because I feel like everybody's counting it in the win column. I actually said this on Locked On Auburn last week. I said it worries me because we're kind of like chalking that one up as one of our guaranteed wins and moving on to can we beat Arkansas, can we beat, you know, whoever else. And I'm like, we need to worry about beating Cal because we do not have a sparkling record of non-conference Power 5 opponents, home or away.
And that... They're going to be a good defensive team, even if they're terrible in offense. They're going to be a good defensive team, and our offense is only going to have the one, you know, UMass game to get it together before we go on the road multiple time zones away.
Yep.
So that's going to be a weird one.
It's going to be. It's conceivably going to be one of the. You make a very good point that it's the second game of the year, and they only have that one game, and it's against a kind of a cupcake. It's going to be one of those games where they're going to be very vanilla probably against UMass and save things, but it'll mean they haven't tried those plays in a real game. That's kind of the downside. You know, the upside is you have stuff they haven't seen and haven't prepared for, but the downside is you haven't really run it before in a game and gotten a sense of how it's going to go. And so you hate to go on the road two time zones away for a game that's going to start at like 10:30 p.m. Eastern and try to run stuff you've never run before. That's like a recipe for disaster in some ways. And I'll tell you this. This is what was interesting, too. There's several YouTube, just for public service notice, I noticed there's several videos on YouTube right now of like, you know, people using the most recent college football video game, I guess from 2014 or whatever, and they're able to put in the statistics and the names of the players and everything. Mm-hmm. I was watching Auburn versus Cal, and I only made it to halftime and had to turn it off, and I forgot to go back and finish it. I haven't done that yet. But the problem I noticed with us going into halftime was Fairweather was really good. We had some good play-action passes to Fairweather and a couple other receivers. Jarquez looked really good. But what was killing us was we had no pass rush. Cal was able to sit back and pick us apart because we just couldn't put enough pressure on their quarterback. And that could be a thing, right? I mean, we know we have a couple of guys, but not much more than that.
That's right.
So we'll see.
It's a big question, Mark. And I like his comment because I think just from the order standpoint, it is – I mean, no one would say, oh, it's the biggest game of the season with Georgia and Alabama on the roster. But it does matter in terms of the order – and it's a game you can't lose, like you're saying, that too many people are taking for granted. And that we're still going to be figuring it out. I mean, the UMass game isn't going to stress this team. The Cal game is going to stress this team.
Yeah.
All right. Next email is from frequent emailer Bill Miner, who says, guys, I couldn't believe the hype for just for a single 8-game opponent slate. But in my mind, perceived schedule strength is so fluid these days of transfers and NIL, so which is more meaningless in 2024, Auburn slate or playing for the SEC championship with a possible rematch?
I'm not sure I followed. You have to run that by me again.
I think he's just saying, you know, with the way teams are so variable from year to year, the strength of a schedule. You can't tell how tough it is or easy it is. So while our comments earlier about being a tough or easy, things could switch wildly.
Yeah.
Oklahoma could be great, you know, by the time they come to Auburn in 2024, or they could have fired him and have a brand new coach. But at the other thing he's saying is just the variability of that versus now we're going to have SEC championships with rematches. You know, I mean, Georgia and Alabama are playing each other in 2024. If they're the top two teams, they're going to play twice before the playoff.
That's true. Yeah, and it's just going to be weird because the criteria, they're still trying to figure out, like, what gets you in the championship game, right? What the tiebreakers are and everything. It's just going to be weird. I mean, you're not going to have any more of those Mississippi State, Arkansas type SEC championship games, but you very well are going to get rematches. You know, you're going to get like an Alabama LSU at some point. You're going to get a Georgia Alabama. You know, the way it goes, you're the same five or six teams that pop up all the time. We're on the periphery of that, thank goodness. We're not out of it. But yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see how well, and then how does anybody care? Because like we said, I mean, it's not the 12 team playoff, so I think it's going to matter less anyway.
I think it'll be at that point, it'll be about who gets a bye in the 12 team
playoff. Yeah. Yes, you're right. And by the way, and then there's the effect of the third team, right?
That's right.
Cuz they don't have to play that game.
Mhm.
It really sucks for the loser. That's what we talked about last week. The big loser in all this is the loser of the SEC championship game because they have to play an extra game. It doesn't benefit them to play it because they lose. They get a loss, which could conceivably hurt them in the 12-team playoff, though probably not.
They could get jumped by the road.
They could have to go on the road
in the 12-team playoff.
Yeah, and they could get jumped by the undefeated 12-0 team that was third. There's so many ramifications for this that are going to be weird going forward.
Yeah, I mean, imagine it. Okay, well, I mean, yeah, let's game this out right now. The team that loses the SEC championship game, you know, gets bumped down in the rankings. They have to go on the road to play at a Big Ten team or at Oregon or Washington.
Yep.
Meanwhile, the team that finished third that didn't play in the championship game gets to host, you know, a Big Ten or Big 12 team at home for their opening round playoff game, huh? Yep. You know this is going to happen.
Oh, it's going to, and they're going to be so mad.
Yep.
Yep. That's it. Yeah. The big loser in all of this is the loser of the SEC championship game. There's no doubt about it.
All right. Our last email is from New York Tiger, who says, I got last week's Guess the Game on the first listen, but I'm not just here to brag. I'm not sure what happened. It was clear from the clip because the play-by-play was atrocious. During the Peach Bowl game, the North Carolina quarterback threw the ball out of bounds, and an Auburn defender jumped out of bounds, grabbed the ball while he was in the air, and before he landed, threw it back in bounds to another defender who caught it for the interception. The most memorable play of an otherwise totally forgettable game. Just wanted to clarify it to fellow listeners who may not remember the play, New York Tiger.
Yeah, that was his message I read and sent and forwarded to you that reminded me of the play. That I can kind of see it now. So I still think of the catch that Cam threw the pass into the Kentucky game right in front of me. I was on that side of the field and it was right down below me. That's the one that seems so crazy. But yeah, that was a defensive play against North Carolina in the Peach Bowl. Yeah, against Peppers, right? Julius Peppers was the one that wreaked havoc. We went up against some good pass rushers that year in 2001. There was the guy that Syracuse had that played for the Colts a long time.
Dwight Freeney.
Yes.
Guy killed us.
He gave Jason Campbell nightmares. And then Peppers for North Carolina in the bowl. Those two alone were just horrific. So, yeah. All right. Do we have any around the SEC? Is it worth cranking up the Aubiemobile or are we going to let it roll?
I think we've talked a lot about the rest of the SEC with the schedule stuff.
So. That has kind of been what this episode has been. It's cool, though. We're just a little over a year away from Oklahoma, you know, from Oklahoma and Texas.
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans. Kevin McHale's not walking through that door. And Robert Parrish is not walking through that door.
But Oklahoma and Texas are walking through that door. And when they do, all the other SEC teams are going to look at them and say,
there they are. Are they not a shame on their country?
Well, not so much. They're a credit to our conference, I think. So I'm excited about having them in, aren't you?
I'm very excited about it. But I'm also excited, like, you know, for, again, I'm excited for when Vanderbilt beats Texas at football, and the Vanderbilt students are doing the horns down and stuff. That is, I mean, again, that's not going to happen this year or next year, but one day it's going to happen.
And
be glorious.
And with Texas, it's going to happen sooner than otherwise might have happened, right? It is. Like, it is. It's going to.
And again, we get Oklahoma 24. They hired Venables, you know, and it did not go well this year.
Nope.
Maybe he can right the ship there. Maybe they can get it fixed. They got to, you know, switch some stuff around. But
I hope that they're a little better this year, but not great. Just enough to keep him for one more year, and then we get him on the plains. And we can do to him what we've done to so many LSU coaches over the years and show him the door. It's right over there, coach. Just step right through that door over there. Yep, there it is. All right, I think that'll do it for this week. Any final thoughts? I think we've covered everything.
We said Oklahoma was the replacement for LSU in the schedule, so maybe metaphorically.
In more ways than one, yes, you're right. Look at John dunking on Oklahoma and LSU the last second, with last breath. I love it. Great job. Our time is up. We thank you for yours. Where are you, John?
Where are you, man?
Thanks for listening to the AU Wishbone. Find links to everything we do at www.auwishbone.com. For more Auburn fun, join us on Twitter at @AUWishbone and at facebook.com/AUWishbone. War Eagle.
The AU Wishbone is produced by Van Allen Plexico and John Ringer. Copyright 2020.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone Podcast.